Hey guys, thank you for tuning in today. You know, this message that you're about to hear, I pray that it not only inspires you, but encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word, and chances are you're thinking about them right now. So share this message with them. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe. I also want to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. There are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you. To continue or even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. Enjoy the sermon.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Folks, don't you love singing hallelujah? Our God reigns. Amen. Hey, let's praise our God one more time. Come on. Amen. Hey, well, welcome everyone at all of our local campuses, Doral, Coral Gables, Redland, West Kendall, Palmetto Bay. Thank you so much for being here today. My name is Omar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And today we are continuing a series entitled Your Father's Heart. And it's a study really through Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 11. We've been going through the Old Testament here at CF. And so today's title for the message is Your Father's Faithfulness. And so I'm ready and excited to dive into God's Word, and I hope you are as well. And so wherever you find yourself, let's open up our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. You can follow along with me as I read, okay? Listen to what God's Word says. So hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven. Know therefore today that he who goes over before you as a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you as the Lord has, what, church family? What is it? Yeah, as the Lord has promised you. In other words, God wanted them to have, the people of God to have confidence, right, in God, in his promises, that he would get them into the promised land where he was leading them to go. And then listen to what Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, verse 3. It says this. The Lord promises thus, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Amen. What a beautiful promise of our God. That is God's word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And church, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, when I was a little boy, still living in Puerto Rico, I was about 4 or 5 years old, I remember that I used to sleep in my grandfather's room. And I remember he had like a little AC wall unit. People didn't have ACs back then. You know, we had a little wall unit. And he used to turn it off really cold at night for me and him. And I remember just watching sports as a little boy with my grandfather. And we watched baseball, all these different sports. But folks, he loved the sport of boxing. Yeah. And I remember as a little boy watching all these heavyweight fights with my grandfather. And as I can recall, one of his favorite fighters of all time had to be Muhammad Ali. How many of you guys remember Muhammad Ali? Yeah, right? The greatest of all time. Now, not only was Muhammad Ali known, right, for his great fighting skills and really his charisma. If you recall, he had this out of this world charisma, right? But also because he was a devout Muslim. Now, folks, follow me here. Because one day, towards the end of his career, he went on a TV show, and a little boy went up to the microphone and asked him, Muhammad Ali, what are you going to do once you retire? And folks, here is how Muhammad Ali responded. Take a look.
I'd like to know what you're going to do when you retire from boxing.
I think he's probably taking the last count at the moment. I'll do my best to wake him up.
Just sleep.
For you.
That's all I'm gonna do.
That's all he wants to do when he retires.
Now, when I retire from boxing, I'm gonna dedicate my life to using my name and popularity, helping charities, helping people, uniting people, bringing people bumming each other because of religious beliefs. We need somebody in the world to help us make peace. So when I die, if there's a heaven, I want to see it. Because we live how long? 80 years? The odds are everybody in this room, some of you going to be dead 20 years from now. Some of you going to be dead 50 years from now. Some are going to be dead 30, and some are going to be dead 60, 70 years from now. We all going to die soon. We don't have but about 80 years on earth. This is a test to see where will we spend our life in heaven or hell. This is not the life now. Your real self is inside you. Your body gets old. Some of you go to look at the fridge, look old, you don't have no teeth. Your hair is leaving you. Your bodies get tired. But your soul and your spirit never die. That's going to live forever. So your body is just housing your soul and spirit. So God is testing us on how we treat each other, how we live, to see where our real home be in heaven. So it just scares me to think that I'm going to die one day and go to hell. I'm on an airplane that might blow up. I'm always traveling. And to go to hell and God is going to judge my soul. The police, I might kill people. I might rob people. The authorities might not catch me. The FBI, Scotland Yard might not catch me. But when I die, somebody's watching me and keeping count. And I can't get away. And I'm going to burn forever and ever and ever. I'll go to heaven. So what am I going to do when I'm through fighting? I only have 16 years to be productive. Get myself ready to meet God and go to the best place. Don't that make sense?
Thank you.
Wow, some powerful words there from Muhammad Ali. And the truth is that there's some things that he said were right, but all that he say some things that were not right in the process. You see, as you were listening, it's no mystery that he had a genuine desire to go to heaven, right? In fact, he says, if there is a heaven, I had them subtitled for you, right? If there's a heaven, I want to see it. So there was a genuine desire for him to go to heaven. However, what you did not hear in the midst of that whole interview is any assurance that he would go to heaven. You see, in fact, for him, there was really no assurance. So the rest of his life, he says, he's going to do whatever possible to do all these different good things, good deeds and all this and all these different things, and try to be as righteous as possible in hopes that at the end of his life, he might see heaven. You see, that's what the Muslim religion taught him, that it was not up to God, it was up to him. It's how hard he worked, it's how righteous he was. But ultimately, listen carefully, he had no assurance, because the rest of his life, he would try to do good works in order to be good enough. But ultimately, listen, he had no peace and no security. Why? Because he was reliant on his own righteousness and not God and his righteousness. And folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today, because folks, what an example of so many people in this world. And by that, I mean this, like that just like Muhammad Ali, right, was trying to gain heaven by his own righteousness, by his own actions, by his own good deeds, and yet never had assurance, just like that. And here's the main idea as we open up God's word today. There's so many people in this world that ultimately have no certainty that when they die, they will be in heaven. They think that, according to them, it's all about what they have to do. And so as a result, they think that the way that they're able to please God and eventually make it to heaven is based on how righteous they are and what they do and how good they are. But as a result, they never come to a place of knowing Christ truly and relying on his promises rather than on their own efforts. And who knows, maybe you're here right now, and that's where you're at. Maybe the way that you have seen life is that the way to obtain heaven, the way to go where you want to go ultimately is up to you, and all your good works and all your righteousness. But as you start processing, you realize, you know what, I really have no assurance. So you probably wonder, well, Omar, how can we have assurance? How can we know that when we die, our Lord is going to take us to be with him? Well, folks, we're going to find out today from an ancient story in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 9. Some powerful truth and principles that we'll find there. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And today, folks, I have three important thoughts for us to consider as we ponder on God's faithfulness. Are you ready, Christ Fellowship? Yeah? Okay. So write this down as point number one. Here we go. And that is this, that your Heavenly Father promises to be with you in this life and eventually bring you to heaven. Now, folks, listen to what God's word says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today to go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than you, cities great and fortified up to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? Know therefore today that he who goes before you as a what? As a consuming fire is the Lord your God. He will destroy them and subdue them before you. So you shall drive them out and make them perish quickly as the Lord has what, church? Promised you." Now, folks, stop right there and slip into the scene. Because as we have been learning, right, Moses is speaking to the people right at the border of the Jordan River, right? We've been studying this in this whole series, right? And so they've been wandering through the wilderness. If we can put the map up for just one quick moment, right, for those of you who are joining us just today. So they've been, you know, in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they are in the plains of Moab on the other side of the Jordan. And Moses here is reminding them in this series, right, some important truth before they invade the promised land in just a few days, right? And so, in fact, Moses says, today you're going to start crossing over into the promised land. Now, before we continue, it's important to keep in mind, okay, it's really important, that Israel's journey all the way from Egypt, right, to the promised land, in many ways is a foreshadowing or a picture of the Christian life. In fact, let me just kind of help you visualize what I mean by that. So for example, there's a lot of similarities in their journey and our journey. So to start off, right, we know that they were in Egypt and they were physically enslaved in bondage to Egypt and Pharaoh, right? And for us, right, we see that in our sin, the Bible teaches us that in our sin, right, we were, before Christ, we were enslaved and in bondage spiritually to our sin. Then we see that for them, right, God brought them out of Egypt in the Exodus and delivered them from that physical bondage to Pharaoh and Egypt. And folks, in the same way, right, for us, God, when we got saved, right, when we came to know Christ as Savior, the Bible speaks that we were delivered, right, from spiritually from the bondage of sin and its consequences, right? And so we were saved just like they were. And then we see that the first thing that they did after they left Egypt, right, after they were freed from their physical bondage, is that they went through a physical body of water, which is the Red Sea, right? We studied here the moment that God parted the Red Sea. So they, in a sense, they visualized, they went through the water. And for us, the first step of obedience after being saved, right, after starting a relationship with the Lord, is to get baptized, right, to go underwater. Which, by the way, if you haven't gotten baptized, it's a perfect time to do it every single Sunday to get baptized and be obedient to that part of your walk with the Lord. And then we see that they were in the wilderness for 40 years, right? And they had their ups and downs, some struggles, but God led them through it. And just like that, in many ways, right, we are now in the Christian life on this earth. We have ups and downs, but we see that God gets us through this life. And the eventual destination for the people of Israel was the promised physical land, right, which was the land of Israel. And for us, after the journey through this life, right, our end destination for us is to be with the Lord in the promised heaven. Amen. And so as you can see, right, not, you know, it's meant to be a foreshadowing, a picture. Not everything's perfect, right? But you can see the similarities, right, between their journey and our journey. And so here, Moses, going back to the story, right, Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. They could see the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. And he's reminding them, listen carefully, how the Lord had been with them through every single day of those 40 years in the wilderness. And now he promises to get them into the promised land. And he tells them, listen, when you cross over, you're going to dispose of these great people that are in the land, even the sons of Anak. Now, who are these people? Well, folks, these are just giant warlike people that were inhabiting the southern part of the land. In fact, many say that they were the descendants of Goliath, you know, the one who fought against David, right? So they say that he's probably in the line of these people. But keep in mind, these are the people that 40 years ago, when they were at the same place, they did not trust God enough to go into the promised land. They doubted God, and because of it, they were there for 40 years. And so I love that at this juncture in time, the Lord, Moses looks at the people of Israel, and he tells them, listen, the Lord is going over before you, in front of you, and he is like a consuming fire. And folks, the obvious imagery here, right, is that of a fire that is so powerful that it really consumes everything in its path. In other words, nothing can stop it. In other words, when God delivered the people of Egypt and told them, listen, I am going to be with you in this journey, and eventually I am going to get you into that promised land, there is nothing, there is no one that could ever stop my purposes for you. Why? Because I am like a consuming fire that will devour everything in its path in order to fulfill my promises to you. And folks, it's in the same way. When you came to know Christ as Savior, right? You put your faith in Christ and you started a relationship with the Lord. Listen, in the same way, God promises you, God promises people, that not only is he going to lead you through every single day of your life, but eventually when you get to that border of death and you are worried about what's happening on the other side, he promises, listen, I am going to bring you with me. Listen, not only is your Heavenly Father going to be with you in this life, but in the next, right? He is like a consuming fire that his purposes for you cannot be diverted. Amen? And listen, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you walked into one of our campuses right now, and the truth of the matter is that you're feeling discouraged. You're feeling confused. You're feeling down about something. Maybe it's a marriage struggle. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's financial uncertainty. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're discouraged. Something's happened in your life, and you are wondering whether or not the Lord is with you. Listen, child of God, you need to be reminded today that the moment that you came to know Christ, all of his promises became true for you, and that he will never leave you or forsake you. And so you need to have that confidence that in every single struggle, in every single season of your life, you are not alone. Your Father's with you, and he will get you into heaven. Can we praise God for that today? Amen? And so lift your head up high, child of God. And folks, here's the thing. Moses knew that as they were about to enter into the promised land, that maybe pride could start developing in their heart. And so listen to what he's going to remind them next. Write this down as big number two. And that is that your Heavenly Father will not fulfill his promises because of your righteousness. Now, folks, listen to what it says in the very next verse. He says, do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me into this to possess the land. It is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. In other words, the judgment that's coming upon these nations are because they are wicked and they deserve every bit of it. But folks, listen to what Moses reminds them next. He says, know therefore that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stubborn people. Remember and do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day you came out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. And from there on out, if you keep reading that this chapter, we see that Moses is reminding them of that moment where they, at Mount Sinai, like we study, how they formed a golden calf and began to worship that golden calf. You all remember that? How they doubted God's provision, God's manna from heaven, right? How they did not trust God in order to enter the promised land at the beginning, right? He starts reminding them of all these different things. And you see, the reason why is because Moses knew these people well. Moses knew, God already showed him, that he was not going to go into the promised land with them. Joshua would lead them in there, right? He was going to die before going into the promised land. But he knew that as they crossed that Jordan River, and they would begin to see all that God was going to do for them, things that their eyes would never believe, that they would never think that they would ever see with their eyes, which, by the way, in the next series, we're gonna see all those things, right? Moses knew that as they would see all these things and what God was going to do for them, that maybe in their hearts they would start thinking, look what the Lord is doing. It's because they're so unrighteous and we are so righteous. And so listen, Moses was reminding them, listen, God is not going to do this because you're so righteous. And you know, folks, the truth of the matter is the same thing could happen to us. You know, when you and I, when we start living our Christian life and we see God work in our life and we see God's promise being fulfilled for us and we see God leading our lives and all these great things that God does within us and through us, listen, it's easy for us to start thinking that God is doing all these great things and he's fulfilling all these promises because we are so righteous. You may be thinking, well, Omar, listen, I've never formed a golden calf. I've never worshipped a golden idol. Listen, you've never idolized something in your life? You've never doubted God in your life? You've never questioned God in your life? Listen, the truth of the matter is that apart from Christ and his Spirit, listen, we're no different than the people of Israel, amen? Listen, are you honest with yourself? Listen, we are unrighteous, amen? And so what Moses is reminding is as we read all these promises that God has for us, right, we are reminded that everything that God's gonna do for us, right, it's not so much because of our righteousness, because of my righteousness, because of your righteousness, but instead, write this down as big number three, your heavenly Father will fulfill his promises because of his faithfulness and his righteousness. Amen? In fact, listen carefully to what Moses says next. He says, not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart are you going in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you. And then notice what he says next. So critical. And that he, God, may what, church family? Oh, you could do better than that. What is it? Yeah. May confirm the word. May confirm the promise, right, that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You see, Moses is making it clear for them that the reason that God is going to fulfill all these promises is because he is a promise-keeping God. He is a covenant-keeping God, amen? And you may be sitting here, it's like, Omar, what covenant are you talking about? What promise is Moses referring to that he needs to confirm and the word and the promise that he made to Abraham? Folks, go back with me to Genesis chapter 15. We covered this about a year and a half ago. But listen to what God told Abraham there at the beginning of his journey. He said this. He says, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. And then notice what he says. Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for what, church? For certain. Know for certain, Abraham, that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there. and they will be afflicted for 400 years. And I will bring a judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions, and they shall come back, what? Here in the fourth generation. And folks, do not miss this. This is what we call the Abrahamic covenant. And what the Abrahamic covenant entails is that, first of all, that God is going to choose, out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, God is going to choose a people for himself. And those people that he chose, he is going to, through them, he is going to bless the entire world. All the families on earth will be blessed. Why? Because through that person, through those people, he will bring out the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then the third part of the covenant is that those people will inhabit and live on that land forever. That land is theirs forever. And this is the land that we're talking about, which is crazy if you think about it. Even today, where they're back in the land after almost 2,000 years. And so what Moses is reminding them is that God's bringing them into the land in order to fulfill all the promises that he's made to their ancestors. And so what Moses' goal here is for the people of God to be confident in the promises of God. That as they cross over that river and they start fighting and they start going into the land, they need to be confident that God, who promised certain things, will be faithful to accomplish it. And so when Moses is helping them understand, listen, ultimately, the reason that God is for sure going to fulfill this is because ultimately his own glory is at stake. Now, what do you mean by that? You see, if God promises something, whether small or major, it doesn't matter, and he does not fulfill it, then he sees this to be all glorious. He sees this to be all righteous. He sees us to be all holy. He sees us to be all faithful. Why? Because even if one promise of God is not fulfilled, it's not met, then listen, he sees us to be who he is. And so what God, and so what Moses is reminding the people of God, listen, when you go in and you're fighting, you need to know that it's not because of us that he's going to fulfill his promises, but his own glory depends on it. And folks, listen, in the same way, listen carefully, that is the confidence that you and I need to have in our life today. That as we go through life, listen, that as God has promised us, when you came to know Christ as Savior, and all those promises of in Scripture for his people come to be part of you, you need to be confident that as you live your life, that he will fulfill every single one of them. Why? Yeah. Not because, listen, don't make the, he loves you, right? And he's, and he wants the best for you. But even above his love for you, it's the fact that he needs to uphold his glory. And so as you go through life, listen carefully, right? We know for certain he's going to fulfill his promises to us. As we go through our life, listen, we're going to do our best to honor God. Amen? We're going to do our best to please the Lord and walk in obedience. And listen carefully. When we disobey, we're going to experience the consequence of that sin. When we rebel against God, we're gonna feel his discipline to get us back in line, right? He's going to get us back in line, so make no mistake. It's not like we can, you know, live like hell for the rest of our lives, right, just because the promises of God are true. No, we seek to honor him. And listen, when we stumble, right, when we get a line, he's going to correct us and he's going to discipline us back into his path. But make no mistake about it. You need to live with a certainty, even when you mess up in life, that his promises for you are unshakable. Can we praise God for that today? And folks, just so that you can see how truly unshakable his promises to you are, even before the foundations of the world. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 says. He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And then notice what this says, all right? Listen carefully. For those whom he, what, church? What is it? Foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also what? Called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also what? Glorified. Now, I shared this with you about several years ago, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of this. And this is what theologians call the golden chain of your salvation, okay? Or for today's purposes, we call it maybe the unshakable chain of God's faithfulness to you, right? You can call it whatever you want, but here's what it entails, right? First of all, the scripture says that before the foundations of the earth, right, God foreknew you. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that he knew who you were and how you were going to be. He knew what you were going to like. He knew how you were going to laugh. He knew what foods you were going to like. He knew what things you were not going to like. He knew everything about you. He knew every single hair you were going to have or hairs you're going to lose, right? He knew you, every part of you. He knew you, who you were. And then it says, not only did he foreknew you before the foundation of the earth, but he also predestined you. Now, what does that mean? Very simple. That is a moment before the foundations of the earth where God made a formal decision that at one point of your life, like you were going to be his. He made a formal decision that she will be mine, he will be his, right? Mine. So that's what predestined. Then the second one is, if we can go to the next one, there you go, called. If we can zoom in for a little bit more so they can see at the campus, yeah. So called means very simple, that at one point of your life, you actually, God intervened in your life and called you to be his, right? You were walking away from God. You didn't care about God. You didn't want to know about God. But one day, maybe at church, maybe at work, maybe at home, somewhere in your life, God called you, what we call the effectual calling of God. God called you. He opened up your eyes to see the truth of Christ, and you came to God. God called you, and you came to him. And the next thing it says is that he then justified you. Now, what the word justify means simply means to declare you righteous. It doesn't mean that you are righteous. It means that you are now declared righteous. When you put your faith in the Lord, right? When he called you to be his and you responded and you put your faith in Christ, the Bible says that he justified you. It means that he declared you to be righteous. And then afterwards, it says this. It says that he then glorified you. Now, what does that mean? The word glorify means that at the end of time, after all this is done and your time here on earth is done, the Bible says that he's going to give you a brand new body. Because the truth of the matter is that these bodies decay. These bodies get old because of sin, right? We cry. We get discouraged. We get anxious. Why? We're feeble people. Our bodies, due to sin, eventually are weak and eventually they die. But you see, God's vision for you is different. God's vision is that when it's all said and done, that he will give you a brand new body that will be with you and him forever. Amen? And so here's what I want to help you understand. What I want to help you understand is that right now, you are living here. If you're in Christ, you're living between the day you came to know Christ as Savior and the day that you will be glorified. And some of us are wondering, is God going to be faithful here? Is God going to lead me through this? Is God going to protect me? Is God going to give me wisdom? Is God going to lead me through this? Listen carefully. Listen, if God, before the foundations of the earth, if he was already planning, if he was already starting to fulfill his promises to you, and he's gone through all of this, why would he then, at this point in time, just stop fulfilling his promises to you? Listen, God will be faithful. And as he's leading you through this life, he's going to get you through this life, and he promises that he will glorify. For those who are true believers, listen, he will glorify them at the end. That is why, listen carefully, that is why Romans 8 says this. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so, child of God, is you are a believer in Christ, the Lord wants you to be to rest assured with confidence that he who promised is faithful and that he will lead you through this life until the day that you see him face to face. Can we praise God for that today? Amen. And so, church, let me end with this. You know, the reality is that perhaps you've been here, sitting here, listening to this sermon, and perhaps if you could be honest with yourself, man, you don't have any certainty in your life. You don't know whether God is with you in your life. You don't have a relationship with God. And there's something in you that as you're listening to this message and you see so many people with certainty, you realize, you know what, I want to have that certainty too. I want all those promises of God to be true for me. I need to get right with God. I want to live with the Lord. I want to start a relationship with God. And so you're probably wondering, Omar, how can all that be true for me? How can I get right with God? How can I start a relationship with the Lord? It's very simple. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what does calling on God mean? It does not mean doing good works like Muhammad Ali did the rest of his life and never had assurance. Why? Our sin is still there. We can never do enough good things. It doesn't mean coming to church every week. Listen, you can sit in these chairs every single week of your life and not be right with God and never know God. You could do all the rituals and all the traditions that you want to make you feel righteous, but at the end of the day, you still never know God. Why? Because the only way that you can call on God is by faith and faith alone. That's what the Bible says, that whosoever believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, he shall be saved. You see, listen, it's so simple. The gospel of Christ is so simple that there has to be a moment in our life that even though we were far from God because of our sin, that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. So that those who would put our faith in him, not only will we be forgiven of all of our sins, but we start a personal relationship with the Lord. And from there on out, listen, as you live your life, all the promises that God has given his people are for you. See, it doesn't make sense that you don't trust Christ and you want all the promises for him to be true. No, it's only for his people, for those who come to him in faith, for those who surrender their life. The promise of God are sure. But you see, there has to be a moment in your life You say, you know, I need God in my life. I don't want to live life alone. I don't want to live life with a facade that everything's going right, even though deep down inside, I know I'm not right with God. I want the Lord in my life. See, the question is, will you put your trust and faith in the Lord today? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we are so grateful for those of us who have put our faith in you already, Lord, who have surrendered our life. Lord, what a great reminder from your word. Lord, that all your promises are true for us, that we can depend, not because we're so good, because you're so faithful, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live in that truth. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want to speak to some of us here today at all of our campuses, all throughout Miami and online, that maybe perhaps you're here and you say, you know, Omar, I'm ready to take that step of faith. And I'm ready to start a relationship with God. I want to be right with God. So if that's you, I say, I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And I always remind you, listen, when I lead you through this prayer, this is not a poem or script that we wrote here. It's simply me helping you talk to God. And when I lead you through this prayer, okay, listen, you don't pray to me. You pray to God. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who saves you. He's the one who gave his son for you. You pray to God, not to me. Last but not least, remember that as you pray this, it is not the words that you pray. It is the faith behind the words. Scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You want to know God? You want to start a relationship with the Lord? Then you have to come to the Lord in faith, fully surrendered. So that's you. You feel that that's where I'm at right now. Pray this quietly to yourself, but don't pray it to me. You pray this to God. So pray this with me. Lord, today I realize how much you love me. And I realize all these beautiful promises that you have for me, oh God. And Lord, I want that for me in my life. And so I come before you, oh Lord. And I confess all of my sin. All the things that I've done, Lord, I confess them. And I put my trust in you, oh God. I surrender my life today, oh Lord. I don't want to live life without you anymore, Lord. So forgive me of my sins. And give me everlasting life. And as I walk with you now, Lord, let me walk in confidence that you are for me, that you are with me. And I know now, Lord, that at the end of this life, I will be with you forever. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. And all of God's people say, amen.